My wife and I, we are quite new to East London. We only came here beginning of December. And my dad was here this weekend, and I told him the people in East London are amazing. I've not met one obnoxious person in 2 months. That's amazing. I think everybody in East London are just wonderful people. And I'm not just saying it, it's just amazing. I've not met anybody that was negative or difficult or... except some of the church members, obviously. But that's normal. That's how it goes. And we had a baby the 24th of December. So the baby is now 6 weeks old. And I must say that's quite a new thing. So we've done all the difficult things. They say if you want to really have trauma in your life, move, change job, have a baby, and start a new church, or be responsible for a church. And what I realized beginning of middle of last year, my wife and I, we were praying together, and I just felt in my heart, it was before we knew that we were going to come to East London. We were praying. We knew she was pregnant. Baby was what, 5 months in the womb, And so I just felt the Lord, the Holy Spirit, speaking to my heart, telling me, I'm going to give you a heart, my heart, for this baby. And I thought, that's weird. Aren't you supposed to love your own child? I mean, that's sort of normal. And as time progressed, we found out that there's another baby, the church. You know, it's often the picture of a church plant, of being like a baby. And so some of the guys have been joking in Stellenbosch, where we come from. They've been saying, now we're having twins. And they put in the newsletter, and everybody was, they didn't tell me they're having twins. Church and baby, twins. So there's lots, I'm going to preach in the future lots about this connection. There's lots that's quite the same. You know, sometimes you don't know what's going on, but you pull through. So praise God. So from my perspective, I'm counting the age of this church from the birth of my baby. So in that sense, this church is now 6 weeks old. It's been going for a while, small group, but from my perspective, 6 weeks. So it's very exciting. It's wonderful to have some new faces here, and yeah, it's just awesome. Okay, so I'm going to minister this evening on living a life of purpose. I'm calling it Coming Soon. You'll see later why. It's been said, there's one thing more tragic than dying young, and it's living life without purpose. There's one thing that's worse than somebody dying young, and it's living life without purpose. So my question to each one of us is, are you living a life of purpose? There's a story of so many people. They just exist. They go through the motions. Hey, they might even be having fun. But is there real purpose? Is there real purpose in what they are doing? Is it adding up to something, or is it merely a footprint in the sand? Is it just a footprint in the sand that, you know, if you go to the beach, you make some footprints, and then the waves come and they take the footprints away, and it is as if the person never walked there. And that's sad, you know. I don't think, and I know that's not what God wanted it to be like. He didn't want us just to have footprints in the sand. The waves come, and it is as if we never lived. And that's, for me, that's very sad. So when we come to the end of our lives, when we breathe our last breath, will we say it was worth it? Will we say, I completed my mission? I have no regrets. Or like Jesus said, it is finished. I've done what I needed to complete. And then will we die with peace and fulfillment, stepping into this next life victorious or not? Or will we come to the end of our days here on earth with regret, saying, I wish I did more. Or I wasted my life. Or what have I done? What have I done? Being terrified of what lies beyond the gates of death. It wasn't meant to be so. I'm trusting that this evening I'm going to share a few principles to help all of us, myself included. Whenever I minister a message, I always minister to myself. And just by the way, then some people are in the room as well. So I'm not speaking down at you. I'm speaking up at you. So the key to fulfilling our destiny or our purpose on earth is found in God. It's found in God. I'm going to explain why. But one of the reasons for this is that God, our God, is a God of purpose. He's a God of purpose. He designed us for purpose, and in knowing Him is the key to unlocking our purpose. Okay, so just want to touch on this. You and me, we are designed for destiny. There's a principle which says you and me are perfect for our purpose. You are perfect for our purpose. Everything that God does has a purpose. You know, but so often we don't believe this. You see, if there is purpose for the rat, I mean, surely there must be purpose for you and me. Even the nose hairs in your nose has purpose. They say we will die without them. Even the nose hairs. Okay, we won't talk too much about that. But everything that God does has purpose. How you look. So often we deny what we look like in terms of we don't appreciate whom God has made us to be. We look at ourselves and we doubt this thing that everything that God has made has purpose. So, you think you have issues. Let's look at me. I'm turning gray at a really early age. You know, and that's not so bad. You could say make it work for you. I've tried. But unfortunately, only ladies about 30 years older than I say they think it looks cute. That's really sad. You know, you think you've got issues. Then, second of all, I'm really short. I've been short in standard six. The standard sixes were taller than me. I came to matric, and the standard sixes were still taller than me. Now that's kind of depressing. So I'm short. And then the one that really you struggle with when you're a teenager, you see movies of Arnold Schwarzenegger, and you see this huge man, this hulk of a man, and you look in the mirror and you see, my brother, when the Lord was handing out calves, you were standing last in the queue. So the Lord didn't bless me with Arnold Schwarzenegger calves. Well, not the rest either. So it kind of all fits nicely. Praise God. You know, but then you ask God, Lord, why did you make me like this? Why? I found out why I was made short. A friend of mine, about 10 years ago, we were driving in my father's new 4x4 on the N1 on our way to Cape Town with a generator. We were going on a missions trip, and we were going to sort out this generator. I was driving at 120, 130. On the left-hand side, a truck sort of stopped in front of me, so I swerved out to the second lane next door. But the 4x4 is very top-heavy, so the vehicle did something like this. And then I pulled on the steering wheel, and it went like that. And then I pulled on the other side again, and it went like that. And then it turned 90 degrees in the road at 130. And so we rolled three times. Quite an amazing experience. It's weird. It's like your whole life flashes before your eyes. It's like these moments of silence in the air, and then just this crushing sound. So anyway, the vehicle stopped. We missed the bridge by about 2 meters, missed the truck, which we passed. We were rolling in the direction of the truck, but we missed the truck, missed the bridge. Truck lying there, or the 4x4 lying there. So we got out, and I only had a little scar on my arm. But the whole roof of the truck was compressed like that much. And both Anton and myself, we were both short. So we're fine. So when we were made originally, God said, those two, make them short. Otherwise, they're not going to make it. You know, so we were made short, and we made it. Praise God. I still don't know why the Lord hasn't blessed me with calves. But I will someday find out. Maybe it's to keep me humble, I don't know. But it's been working well, praise God. Okay, so we can ask the question, why am I black, or why am I white, or why am I colored, or why am I this? The answer is, for purpose. For purpose. Thank God He made me like this. You should do the same. Thank God He made you like and how you are. So then we come to our personality. So often we are critical about how we respond to life. I'm so impatient, or I get angry so quickly. But I found that those areas in our lives that are so like weaknesses, when we give it to God, He sanctifies it and He uses it for His glory. That anger will then become sanctified and holy. And so you become angry at injustice in the world and you say no more. Instead of just being angry at the driver in front of you. And then our parents or our upbringing, why? For purpose. Our past. So often we ask the question, God, why did that happen to me? Why? Why? The answer is for purpose. He's going to use it. It wasn't necessarily the will of God for something bad to happen to you. But if we surrender it to Him, He will make it beautiful. It's often been said that the area where you have been wounded, God will use that exact same area where you've been received your healing to bring healing to somebody else. We've often seen it. Say with a rape victim, when that person comes through it, that lady helps other ladies. And she brings lots of healing. So when you and I step into eternity, God is not going to ask you, why weren't you more like Moses? Or why weren't you more like the Apostle Paul? No, God's going to ask you, why weren't you more you? I made you to be you. So why aren't you just more you? And I often find it that we're not ourselves. We don't live the way God has wanted us to live. You and I, we were created because there is something God wants done that demands your presence on this planet. You had to be born. It is critical. You had to be born. At the age of 18, 19, when I became a born-again believer, at that time in my life, I had no purpose. I was studying engineering at the University of Stellenbosch, but there wasn't a sense of purpose. There wasn't a sense of destiny. I never imagined that somebody's life could be changed through little old me. It is the most precious, valuable gift God can give any one of us. Is that when we pursue purpose and see somebody's life changed forever, it is so fulfilling. You know, I've been on the student council of the University of Stellenbosch at the directorship level with all the big guys. Christo Wiese, CEO of Sanlam, CEO of Old Mutual, all these big guys, you know, businessmen, politicians. And I thought, man, this is it. And in the midst of that, I came to the conclusion, God, I don't like this. If this is it, to walk with important people, to have your degree and do all these things, I just came to a point in my life at that stage when I was fifth or sixth year at university, I just came to the point where I said, Lord, I don't want this. God, I want my life to mean something, really truly mean something. And I thought back, when was the time that I was fulfilled? When was the time that I was blessed and excited and joyful? That was when I was serving people, pointing them to Jesus, loving them, blessing them, doing whatever, but to see lives turn around. And I said, Lord, I'm willing. Whatever you want. Lord, I'm going to go to East London. I didn't think at that stage. But when you're a third-year student, when I was previously, I said, Lord, I'll go anywhere for you. Anything. You know, you don't have a wife, you don't have children, you don't have a bond, you don't have a car, you have nothing, so it's easy. You know, then a few years later, you've got a wife, you've almost got a child, you've got a bond, you've got vehicles. Okay, Lord, are you saying now? This is quite challenging. This is quite different. But I came to realize that what fulfills me is to see other people change. and blessed and loved by God. So we should be ourselves. We've been born to do something. You and I, we were designed and dispatched for a purpose. Designed and dispatched for a purpose. Then listen to the lies that says it's not so. It's not like a new baby is born. God is looking out through the clouds and say, oh, well, what are we going to do with this fella? No, it's been planned. It's been prepared. He's put out everything there for us. We just need to step into it. Your life has the potential to fulfill your destiny. Your life has the potential, no matter what the age you are at, your life has the potential to fulfill your destiny. So you come at the end of your life and you know, I've done it. I can now go. I can now move on. There's a scripture, Isaiah 46, verse 9 to 11. It should be on the screen. It says, remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. From the east I summon a man or a woman to fulfill my purpose. What I have said, that will I bring about. What I have planned, that will I do. Awesome. That is what reveals who our God is. And there's one aspect that who our God is. He is our guide. He is our guide on this road. He makes known the end from the beginning. God knows the end at the start. He knows the future. He knows what tomorrow holds for you and me. He is the perfect guide. Imagine yourself, some of you might have done some hiking, trailing. You have this, you're on a new trail, a new mountain. There are many trails. You don't have a clue which way to go. But there's this experienced guide. An experienced guide. He knows the road. He says, no, not that one, that one. He knows what happens beyond the next bend. He knows when you cross the river which stones are slippery. Why does he know it? Because he's been down that road 1,000 times. He knows it like the palm of his hand. He knows it. How much more our God, who has been down the path of time 1,000 times. It says he declares the end from the beginning because he has been to the end. You can go read this Bible. You can read the last chapter. We win. How's that? That's wonderful. We win. Which is great. But God lives in eternity outside of time. And as I said, He's been down the trails of time. He is our perfect guide, your perfect guide, my perfect guide on this road, if we allow Him to. It is His will for us to accomplish our God-given purpose in this life, so that when we come to our end, when we have lived, when we have achieved, we have succeeded. We've done it. We've fulfilled it for Him. And that blesses me. You know, I've come to know that God will tell me something, which is it's amazing. It's happened to me. It happened the one time I was playing a game of squash. It was the first time in 3 years I was playing squash. Now you can imagine. I was crawling off the court. I got in my car. It was raining, the first rains in Cape Town, heavy rains. I got into my car, and as I drove off, the Holy Spirit told me that I must pray for my wife for her safety on the road. And then she was driving back from Century City or Cape Town area to the Brackenfell area. And so I prayed for her. I said, God protect her. God bless her. God be with her. Surround her with your grace. And then I just started to focus on the road because I was so tired. And then I got home and I asked her, did something happen? And she told me that she was driving on the right-hand side of the N1. And then she stopped behind these other vehicles. And then she saw a truck coming from behind. She saw in the rearview mirror a truck coming and it was going to go through her. And she saw it and she swerved out and the truck went through right where she was. You know, and so praise God, I prayed, but more than that, praise God that He told me. Because He is our guide. He shows us the way. A month from now, I'm going to minister on hearing the voice of God. Also going to have a special service then. Hearing the voice of God. It's so important to know the road that you should be taking. Okay, but God is our guide, but He's so much more than a guide. He is more than a guide. He said in that previous scripture, "My purpose will stand." God is not submitted to the elements and to fate. You see, He's not like a normal guy that takes you along the road and that guide is submitted to the elements and to the weather and things like that. Our God is able to change the landscape. He's able to change the environment. You could be walking on this trail and then could decide, but I think He has a shortcut, let's go through there. And so He changes the road and says, now you go through there. He can literally change the environment, and the Bible is full of examples of that. For instance, God, we're talking on a macro level now, God can influence the economy. Go read the end of Genesis, Joseph. God brought prosperity over the known world for 7 years. And then there were 7 years of famine. But God told Joseph, and He said, this is what's going to happen. So they made preparations. So they were prepared. And then Egypt became the world power at that time. Everybody had to come and buy grain from them. So can God influence the economy? Yes, He can. I'm praying for the petrol price and the interest rates and all those things. And God can change governments and leaders. For instance, go read the book of Daniel. Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was the leader of the Babylonian Empire. And a few times, Nebuchadnezzar didn't want to give honor to God. And so he actually lost his mind for a certain period of time, something like, say, 7 years. He became like an insane person for 7 years until he decided, I'm going to magnify God. So then his mind came back. And then these prophecies came that new leaders will come and this changed and that changed. So God can control the environment. There's another excellent example. Of the founders of the Shofar Churches, Fred and Lucille May from Stellenbosch, they, in the middle of the 80s, now Fred is a colored man, and Lucille is white. So it was the middle of the 80s, and there were laws saying black and white is not allowed to get married. And here they are, and they're feeling God is saying they must get married. And Fred said, God, you must be kidding me. The laws of the country says I'm not allowed to do this. And then God spoke to him and God told him, Fred, I'm going to change the laws for you. Well, probably not just for him, but God told him He's going to change the laws. And so Fred told his friends and they all said, you're crazy. You're just trying not to be with the white people, you know. And so they, in a sense, rejected him. And then just after they got married, the laws were changed. So can God change the environment? Yes, He can. He can, definitely. And why? For His purpose. For His will. I read this, it's not in the Bible, but I'm sure you all have heard of Alexander the Great. Now he lived around 400 BC. He was a young man, 21, 22 years old, from the area of the Greece area. And he had this army and he wanted to take over the world. And then he decided, no, I'm not going to do it now. I'm going to wait until next year was better. Then I'm going to go on my campaigns. And then he had a dream. Interesting enough. He had a dream. In the dream, a man with a long white cloak appeared to him and said, Alexander, it is your time, your God-appointed time, to now attack. So go, move, take your army and attack. And so he did, and they slaughtered the Persian Empire battle by battle. It was almost supernatural. This guy was 22 years old. Within 10 years, he destroyed and took over the whole known world. And then he died. Exactly according to the prophecies in the book of Daniel that said the Persian Empire would be taken over very quickly by another empire, and then the empire would split into three, exactly as it happened. But the interesting thing is, he came to Jerusalem And the Jews were supporting the Persian Empire. And so Alexander decided, I'm going to destroy Jerusalem. I'm going to destroy the Jews because they're not willing to submit. And then the army was surrounding Jerusalem. And then obviously the Jews were inside praying to God saying, what do we do? And so God spoke to the high priest and he said, put on a long white robe and walk out alone and go meet Alexander. And so he stepped out of the city. He walked out to Alexander. When Alexander saw this man, he recognized him as exactly the man that he saw in his dream. And so he fell on his knees and he bowed before the high priest. And so he protected them and didn't destroy them. How's that for God? He protects his covenant people and he takes over, he uses the man he wanted to use to destroy these ungodly nations. So why did he do that? For his purpose. God is a God of purpose. He's a great God on a macro level, but also on a human level, an individual level. And he wants into our lives if we would just allow him to. You see, everything that happens isn't the will of God. So often we say, oh, it's probably God's will. Most of the time it's not, because we live in a bad world. Because there's a prerequisite. There's this little snag to the purposes of God. God needs a man, as I read in that scripture, for he summons a man from the east to fulfill his purpose. So there are lots of people in this world who do not listen to God, who do not obey God, who steal and kill and murder. So not everything that happens is the will of God. But that's our challenge, to hear the call of God and to say, Lord, I'm willing to obey you for your purpose sake. And it will happen according to your will. I shared this a few weeks ago, but I want to share this again. There's this Australian young man, I think he's in his early 20s. He was born without arms and without legs. How's that for a challenge? Where's God in that? Is it the will of God? No. Probably fallen nature, things go wrong. But how would we respond to something like that, being born without arms and without legs? Wouldn't we be so bitter, so angry, so, God, why did you do this to me? And this young man is not like that. He's traveling the world. He has one little foot next to his hip, one little foot. And he is enjoying life that you can't believe. He's a motivational speaker. He travels the world. And he praises God for how God has made him. Because the way he's made gives him an opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ. To encourage people to say, come on, look at me. Get over it. It's not that bad. I saw this video. He was like wobbling next to the swimming pool. And then he dove in, or well, sort of fell in. And then he's like sinking, and then he comes up, and he has this little foot, this propeller, and he's swimming. He's enjoying life. That's amazing. So not everything that happens is necessarily the will of God, but everything that happens God can use for his glory if we would just open our eyes. If we would just open our eyes and say, thank you, God, that you're going to use this for your glory. Why do people miss their destiny? I believe there's one reason, primary, significant thing why people miss their destiny. And I believe the reason is pride or stubbornness. You see, we don't want to do it God's way. We don't want to give over control. We don't want to humble ourselves before an almighty God. We don't want to give him glory. I think it's often because we're afraid to give over control to God. I remember this when the Lord spoke to me so clearly. I was standing in a church service. We were worshiping God. Well, obviously I wasn't worshiping, because I was being critical. I was being judgmental of the preacher and the church. And so I wasn't actually worshiping God. I was just being critical. And so I felt the Holy Spirit speak to my heart. I felt God saying to me, Andre, go read Psalm 23, verse 5. There's something there you need to see. Something about humility that you need to realize. And so I opened my Bible during the worship, and it said, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over." And I'm saying, Lord, there's nothing of humility in that passage. Always a good idea to argue with God. Yes, I'm just in my heart conversing with the Holy Spirit. And so I felt, read it again. So I read it again. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over." And I still didn't get it. And I felt God asking me a question. What do you need to do to partake of something that is laid out on a table? What do you need to do to take part of a feast that has been prepared for you? And I realized, I need to sit down. I need to sit down to partake of all that God has placed before me. And I knew that God was saying to me, the Holy Spirit was saying to me, that sitting down and humility are connecting. And at a later stage, I read this passage in Jeremiah 13, verse 18, where the prophet speaks to the king and the queen. He says, "Say to the king and the queen mother, humble yourselves, sit down, for your rule shall collapse the crown of your glory." They were proud, and so God had to destroy the kingdom because they weren't willing to listen to God. And so this really spoke to me. When I heard this, sit down, in the worship, I went and I sat down. Because it's always a good idea to listen to God. So I sat down. And I said, "Now Lord, speak to me about this." So if you look at that passage, Psalm 23 verse 5, it speaks of a table being prepared by God. It says, in the presence of your enemies. In the presence of opposition. In the presence of major challenges and circumstances, God has already prepared a feast, a table of blessing. It's there. And then it says, "You anoint my head with oil," and the anointing oil speaks of empowerment to overcome circumstances, to overcome challenges. Anoint my head, if we would sit down. And then the last one, "My cup runs over," the blessings of God. The blessings of God. Not just financial, but joy, peace, all these things. And I've realized in my life the times that I've been proud or arrogant or stubborn. And I've been there quite a few times. And then I realize that I realize my heart stinks. And I pray, God, break me. Make sure you before you pray that one. Make sure you want to walk that road, you know, because God hears you. Because I knew, God, I will never be able to fulfill my purpose if I'm so arrogant, if I don't love people, if I'm spiritually proud and I'm looking down on people. And I praise God for the process that He has been doing in my life. But the prerequisite for enjoying the feast that God has prepared depends on you and me sitting down. We cannot partake of it while standing. We need to sit. We need to sit. When we sit down, we qualify for God's purposes and the power to start working in our lives. And sitting is not passivity. It's not like just doing nothing. It is just humility in our hearts. Humility in our hearts so that God and God alone will get the glory. Now that's a major challenge. Major, major challenge. You see, it's really hard for God to try and teach somebody something if they think they already know. And God's not interested. He resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. You know, when I was a teenager, I was shocked at how little my dad knew. I was just shocking. And about 6-7 years later, I was astounded at how much he grew in that short amount of time. Suddenly he had wisdom and knowledge. I listened to him. Just amazing. Did he grow so much? No. I was just listening for the first time. I was listening. And it's the same with God. So I want to ask you a question. Where is God in your life? Is He far from you? You see, he resists the proud. It's not the only reason why he might be far, but the Bible says he's near to the humble. He's near to those who seek him. He's near to them. But the proud, he knows from afar. That's what the scriptures say. Just think of this. Jesus Christ was born in a crib in a stinking stall. He walked with his disciples, didn't ride on this major horse to conquer. He walked with them. And when he entered Jerusalem as the king, he rode in on the foal of a donkey, a little donkey, a foal. He had no problem with living humbly before the Father, yet he was God in the flesh. So how much more shouldn't you and me be humble in our own sight? Okay, so that's a heavy one. It's out there. Okay, now for the positive one. Coming soon. Have you ever seen a billboard? A big billboard, a huge billboard. And you'll see on this billboard is written, is this picture of a development. You could see maybe many houses, little trees, little people walking around, cars and all these things. You see this huge billboard. And it says, coming soon. Ever read that? Seen that? And if you look behind the billboard, nothing. There's nothing there. But think about this. All across the world, people are driving up to this wonderful billboard. They see the picture, they see coming soon, and then they invest millions in something that doesn't exist. That's quite stupid. Really, really silly. And so many people do it. They see this picture, and they believe. For you and me to fulfill our destiny in this world, in this life, you need to get your very own billboard. Now, if you want to put it up outside your house, you're fine, but I wouldn't recommend it. But you can do that if you want to. But you get your very own billboard. And you get a picture on there of your life. You see, purpose speaks of the end of your life. It speaks of what will be at the end of your life. So you need to put up that billboard in your heart, in your mind. Get a picture of what your life's purpose means. Sometimes we don't know at the start, but you need to get something up there. You need to put up something up there. Because you see, when they start building at any construction site, there's lots of activity. And there's mud and stuff and people storming around, and it looks terrible. It really looks bad. And so often what happens to us, to people, we have a situation where somebody comes to your plot and they come and they take a look at what's the building looking like. And they say, goodness gracious, but your life is a mess. Just look at it. It is a mess. And you say, ah, come with me. I want to show you something. Then you take them to your billboard and you say, coming soon to a city near you. This is what God is going to do in my life and through my life. Because He is faithful to His word. And He says, coming soon. Coming soon. Coming soon. And so often people come to us and they doubt. They say, what's going on here? And we lose motivation. We lose our encouragement. We give up. And we agree with them. Yes, there's nothing going on. It's a mess. But a building site looks like it. Under construction. Coming soon. There's been times in my life where I've gone through some dips. Everything around me spoke to me. Everything told me, you're a nobody. You're never going to achieve anything. Just look at your life. And you hear these voices speaking to you. Say, lose it. And it's like God tests you. He gives you an opportunity to walk out. He gives you an opportunity to give up. And there's been times I've given up for a few months. But then all I've done is I've just humbled myself once again. I've went back to God and said, God, here I am. You know. You know. And then the Lord picks one up. And then he takes you along the road. And then he opens your eyes and then you see, hey, I'm not that bad. I'm actually okay. God is with me and he lives inside of me. And so you pick yourself up again. But now, I remember in those times, in those dark times, I didn't go to my billboard. I wasn't holding on to it. I was listening to everybody around me instead of going to the billboard and saying, coming soon. So you must stand in your room. My dad was not necessarily a believer. He serves God in his own way, very sincerely. But he went through a very difficult time in his life when he divorced, and he went through absolute hell, really terrible, terrible time. He was at the top of everything. At the age of 30, he was first in his MBA class. He was, with all his peers, he was the first director of this very important business. And he just had everything. You know, he was liked, loved. He was brilliant at sport. You know, they won the squash league in Cape Town. And he was just, everything was going for him. But everything has always just worked for him. And so for the first time in his life, he's messed up. He messed up and he got a divorce. And so he sat in the worst state ever. He says the worst moment of his life was on the 25th of December after he dropped myself and my sister off at my mom's. He was sitting on the 25th of December at Key 4, which is kind of sort of a restaurant pub in the waterfront in Cape Town. And he had his bottle of wine and he had his book. And he just wept and wept because he lost everything. His friends, his money, everything. In the end, he came through it. And he has this thing that he tells everybody. When you, in the morning, get up. And this is not necessarily from Scripture. But he says, when you get up in the morning and you look in the mirror and you're shaving, you must look in that mirror and you must like that person. You must like that person. As a Christian, we can go a bit further. We can say God likes you. He loves you. And he has planned your life and he's going to bring you out of this and you're going to make it. Because our God is the king of turning bad situations for the better. He takes your mess and he makes it a message. I just love that. That's just beautiful. He takes the hopeless and he gives them hope. Awesome. Just want to end off with this one point. Just want to get back to Psalm 23. Or before I get there, just imagine this. I'm almost finished. Jesus hanging on the cross. That looked like complete failure. They mocked him. They scorned him. They laughed at him. They said, come on, you saved others. Now save yourself. But it says there, in the Scripture, it says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He had a billboard. You and I were his billboard. He saw us in the future. And so he could handle it. So he could go through it. In the same way with you and me, if we have our billboard, if we know it's worth it, we're going to make it. At the end of our life, it's going to be finished, done. Yes, praise God. If we hold on to our billboard, we will not go through those dumps. We will not give up. We will not doubt. Jesus had a dream, a vision, and a purpose to fulfill. And he did. And I'm so thankful that he did, so that we can have a relationship with him. Psalm 23, again, verse 5. I'm ending off with this. I was standing there in that church, and I felt the Lord saying, sit down. Sit down. And so I sat. And then I was meditating upon this, thinking on this sitting down. The Lord showed me a picture of this table. It wasn't a normal table that you just go sit on a chair like you guys. It is a table on the floor. It's a table on the floor. So if you want to partake of the feast, of everything that God has prepared for us, you need to kneel. Not physically, but in your heart. In your heart, to kneel, to humble yourself before an almighty God and say, God, I give over control. God, I give over. You see, you first need to lose yourself before you can be somebody. Scripture says that. For he who tries to save his life will lose it. But he who loses his life for his sake will find it. So why don't we fulfill our destiny? Primary reason, because we're not willing to bow the knee before an almighty God and say, God, here I am. Do with me as you please. Do with me as you please. Then and only then, will we be able to partake of the purposes of God. And as I said earlier, it is so fulfilling. I have the best job in the world. I remember when I was studying my master's degree, for 2 years, I worked on this thesis. It didn't change anybody's life. I was so frustrated. 2 years for this document, so my lecturer can give me a mark. That was so depressing. I came to my end at a certain stage and said, I'm not much of this. That's tired for the English speaking people. Much. And so I had these students with me, in the master students with me. So I said, now I'm going to talk to them about Jesus. Because something needs to happen after these 2 years of studying. And I need to show something special of the greatness of God. So this evening is just an invitation. And also sort of a pointing in the direction to fulfill your destiny. God wants it. He wants you to be fulfilled. He wants you to succeed. He wants you. But there's a but. We need to humble ourselves before the living God and seek Him with all our hearts. I did it. And every now and again, I need to humble myself again. Because as humans, we're just so innately in our nature to be a bit full of ourselves. But God has His ways to get it out of you. Trust me. Praise God. So let us stand. I just want to pray for us. Holy God, we thank you for every precious person here this evening. You love them so much and you know where they are at. God, I don't know them. I don't know where they're at. I don't know where they are on their life's journey. But you know. And Lord, I pray that you would show them the next step in their journey. Show them the way forward. Show them what you want them to do. In Jesus' name. Just as every eye is closed, I just want to give an opportunity. Just focus on the Lord. I'm asking you to keep your eyes closed just so everybody can focus on God. I want to ask you where you are at this evening. Maybe you've lost hope. Maybe you've given up. Maybe this thing called Christianity or religion has never done it for you. It's never tasted. It's not never been real life to you. Well, I want to tell you this evening that then you there's something wrong there. Because if you know Jesus, it's so fulfilling. There's so much peace and so much rest if you have a relationship with Him. But even some of us that have been serving God for many years, some of us are in a place where we lack hope, we despair, and we don't know the road forward. Then I would like to pray with you. If you are in that place of hopelessness, despair, or any one of those areas, just raise your hand as a sign to God. Just raise your hand as a sign to God. It's the very least we could do, is just to raise our hand, to point to God and say, God, I need your help. I need your help. Anybody else? There are a few hands going up. Anybody else? Father, we praise your name. We praise your name. Yes, Lord, this evening I want to pray for those who raised their hands and even those who didn't. I want to pray your blessing over them. I just felt feel my heart interrupting myself now. I just feel there are some of us here that you've been, if you're honest with yourself, you're a bit proud. You do things your way, finish and claw. And there's pride in your heart. I want to ask you, if that is so, to acknowledge that. I'm not going to call you forward. As every eye is closed, as a sign to God, saying, God, I admit it. I'm a bit stubborn. Just raise your hand. Just raise your hand. There are quite a few hands going up. It's between you and God. And if that's the little bit you can give, it's a good start. It's a great start. Father, in the name of Jesus, I bring before you every special person here, Lord God. Valuable in your sight. And Lord, I pray that you'd lead them on this path of humility, of humbling themselves, and of releasing control into your hands. Lord, I pray that by your Spirit you would lead them to yourself in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray for those who are in despair and those who are lacking hope. And Lord, we speak life and hope and blessing into their situations. And say, Lord God Almighty, breathe upon them new life in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much. Thank you for coming this evening. It's my privilege to share the word with you. If there's anybody that needs prayer, please come, as the rest of us are going for coffee and cake and things like that. Please come for prayer if you need prayer. You don't have to, but it's your life. You have the option to decide, I want to fulfill my destiny. And it starts with just acknowledging it. So I'm going to speak a blessing of you. Father, I speak your blessing of every person in this place. May they grow closer to you. May they find you this week. May they know your voice and your presence in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you. Have a wonderful week. If somebody needs prayer, please come to the front. We'll be here to pray with you. Thank you so much.